Hello there, 7:05. Thanks for your company tonight. Not far from the weekend. Almost, I say almost, close enough to touch, but not quite. Still, maybe you have some plans already. Feel free to let me know what they are. You can text me on 0438 922 936 or call me on 1300 222 936. If you do have plans for the weekend already, what are they? Getting out in the garden, weather permitting, of course. Baking, maybe? I'll be celebrating a birthday, not mine, but someone very, very near and dear. Perhaps you might be spending your time, I don't know, creatively, painting or maybe even writing. If you are a budding author, what kind of things do you like to write? Fiction? Poetry? Screenplays? Non-fiction? One form of writing little considered by those seeking to get published is a career as a ghostwriter. But how does it work? What are the kind of skills you need to become a successful ghostwriter? I'll find out very, very soon all those questions, the answer to all those questions. First, this is The Smashing Pumpkins on ABC Radio 79. The Smashing Pumpkins on ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania.
Today the right way.
Uji Moto.
With Rick Goddard.
Did a bit of dancing on the show. Tell us about that.
So I came out twerking. I have been getting messages from the proposer fans wanting me to teach them how to twerk. Both because of telling them, send your favourite music on and just groove to it.
And they're all like, dude, no, we're white people. Our hips are locked. We don't know what to do. Show people how to do it.
Let's think about it.
Rick Goddard. Weekdays from 5:30 a.m. on ABC Radio Hobart.
Stay tuned.
Do you love to put pen to paper? Have you dreamed of writing the great Australian novel or a work of non-fiction so critically acclaimed it's instantly hailed as the go-to book on your subject of choice? For most people seeking to become a published author, the road to success is long, competitive, and a battle of resilience. But one area of publication you seldom hear mentioned when writers discuss their hopes of becoming an author is that of ghostwriting. How does it work? How does it differ from writing your own story, for instance? Michael Collins is a ghostwriter. He's also worked as an undercover vice cop in London's East End, and as a young bloke wanted to become a fighter pilot, just like his dad. Michael, thank you for coming in this evening. Your biography almost reads like a boy's own adventure. You've been a ghostwriter for 20 years. How old were you when you were first hit with the writing bug?
Oh, I was 10 years old, I think. I was sent to boarding school under protest. And at that point, in a very boring existence, because it was an all-boys school and we were pretty much locked up, I thought that my weekly required letters to my parents should have a little bit of spice in it. So I just made things up. I made up all sorts of stuff and was quite convinced they believed me. And this went on for years.
And where was this?
This was in New York, in the UK.
Can you ever remember if your parents actually twigged to the things you were making up?
I'm quite sure they did. What I told them was absolutely outrageous, but probably the real turning point in my career came when I was probably about 11, and I was pushed by some older boys into writing raunchy articles or some raunchy material for them. I didn't know what I was doing, Paul. I was just following my passion, if you like. But I managed to pinch some of my mum's kind of racy books and sort of distill those and wrote some fairly strong, sexy articles. And as a result, I was expelled.
Goodness.
Yeah.
This was a turn of...
So unfair.
This was a turn of events, I must admit. I wasn't expecting when you walked into the studio this evening.
The headmaster finally decided that I was being creative, and he did give me a second chance. So, and the following year, I won, I think, a couple of bob in a writing competition. So, you know, it was good.
What did your parents say about it?
Oh, they weren't very impressed. Weren't very impressed at all. My mother was quite concerned because she knew where that material had come from.
Yes.
She wondered why her books had gone missing.
So after that experience, what was your next adventure in the creative writing world?
In creative writing, I wanted a job when I was living in New Zealand with the Bay of Plenty Times. And I was just in my early 20s, and I was determined to be a journalist at that point. And I thought the best way to do it was to just go in there and tell them I wanted to be a journalist, and that was it. And the editor said, well, why don't you just write for us for a while, and we'll see how it goes. So I wrote for them for 18 months, one article a week. I used to go find my own material, run around, interview people, find out about their work, which was really a bit of a precursor to what I'm doing now. Find out the details about their lives and send in the articles. And they published them. And then I went in, as I say, 18 months later, and he said, well, I haven't got any jobs for you, but you're doing a great... he wasn't even paying me for these. So, yeah, I began to realise that there was commercial value.
You're listening to Evenings on ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania. My name's Paul McIntyre, and my guest in the studio is Michael Collins, who's a ghostwriter. We're talking about Michael's journey, I guess, in arriving at that career. Michael, you mentioned you started off life in the UK and you moved to New Zealand. How old were you when you started writing those articles for a New Zealand newspaper?
Very, very early 20s, Paul, probably 24. I think I'd only just arrived in New Zealand at the time.
It's often, I've often heard it said that if people wonder if they're a writer or not, they're probably not, because when you're a writer, you know it. You just can't help writing, whether it's letters, whether it's diaries, whether it's ideas for stories. Do you think that's a fair description?
Absolutely. You just need to write. And it doesn't really matter what you're writing, even if you're writing incessant emails. If you feel that there's a need to get a message over, even if it's to yourself, to get it out there, to put it on paper, I think that's an urge that people can't ignore. It's there. It's in you.
From writing, putting together those articles, what was your first, I suppose, major paid work as a writer?
Good question. Apart from competitions, which I regularly entered and got some good results, I think probably in the mid-90s, I went backpacking through South America and the US, and I took a laptop and a good camera and did some what I refer to as photojournalism, sent back the articles and the slides in those days to the person who is now my wife, and she used to peddle them to the Age and to New Zealand papers, and I was starting to get a considerable amount of success. It was good. Didn't pay for the trip, but it certainly put me into a better perspective. The only criticism that I got was that a lot of people couldn't take the articles because I was telling the truth. Instead of having this sparkly travel log, I was actually telling people about the shocking conditions of children in Bolivia and how terrible the families were trying to exist in Ecuador. That didn't go down too well in the travel mags.
How frustrating was that for you?
It was very frustrating, but I wasn't going to play around by missing out on the truth. I think one of the essential things about writing, and ghostwriting particularly, is getting to the truth. Now, what the client does with that in the editing process, that's absolutely fine. A ghostwriter should not have, or should have a very tempered ego. So if any of the work is changed or swapped about, then that's fine. You just let that happen.
For people that may have heard the term ghostwriter, what does it actually mean? What do you actually do as a ghostwriter?
I get paid to write somebody's the material that they would like to see in a book, and their name goes on to that material. I'm not in any way referred to or acknowledged. And yes, some people would find that frustrating, but I don't at all. I'm quite delighted when I see a client stand up and say, I wrote this book because, and they haven't. And I wrote it, and I'm just so pleased and so proud of their taking ownership of it, because it's their words.
Yes, although if you're seeing something that's being lauded and people are praising it, when you're the one that's actually written it, surely, though, there must be a certain element of, it would be nice for some people to know it was me and not them.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. I've had 3 bestsellers written by me and, authored by somebody else or other people. And honestly, I just felt enormous satisfaction, enormous pride, and I was so delighted, so delighted.
We were last talking about your story in the 1990s, following some of your travels. It must have been, the late 1990s when you began your career as a ghostwriter? How did that start?
Again, the person who I think was, well, who became my wife, she is actually an author. And I, when I first met her, I thought it was an excellent opportunity to show her my work. And I, at that time, I was very proud of all the work that I had done over the years. So I handed her a whole lot of stuff, and then she ripped it to pieces. Tore it to pieces.
Literally or figuratively?
No, or both. No. She was incredibly constructive in her criticism, but I was gutted. I just, fell over in a heap. I couldn't believe how bad it was. So I think that was probably my biggest learning curve. And then when we were together, she encouraged me to set up a website, which was pretty clunky in those days, as a ghostwriter. And away I went from there, taking on jobs like, I've written 4 diet books, books on psychology, child psychology. I've written How to Get Rich in 5 Seconds, and a lot of other stuff before I gravitated to biographies and memoirs, which is what I've been specialising in for 20 years.
You're listening to Evenings on ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania. My name's Paul McIntyre. It's 7:22. My guest is Michael Collins, who's a ghostwriter. Michael, I can imagine that ghostwriting isn't something that just any writer could do. There must have been something in your talents whereby the lady, who is now your wife, must have thought, this person clearly has an ability to do this. What do you think it was about your writing ability that lent your talents to being a ghostwriter?
I'm not so sure about the writing ability. I think it's more about the ability to listen. Because a ghostwriter has to understand the client, has to take on their voice and has to ask the right questions. It's very easy in a chat over, say, a memoir or a biography to interrupt. You just got to learn not to. And a lot of people can't do that. You've just got to become a listener. You've got to be focused on what material you want and which direction to go in. And yes, Paul, I still make mistakes, and when I listen back to some of the recordings, I realise that I probably interrupted the client at a crucial moment where some interesting information was missed, but at least I can go back and rectify that. So listening is the major one, acquiring the voice and being able to translate the voice onto the page.
You see, Michael, I think you're being far too modest, because in translating that voice onto the page, you have to be a very good writer, because so many writers can't write anything other than from their own voice. And you're not talking about just writing one book from the perspective of someone else. It's book after book after book. So there would be a real talent to be able to shift your writing style from one person to another. So I reckon you must be an incredibly talented writer to do that.
Well, I think you develop your talents and probably, yeah. I think the ghostwriter in the world has been regarded as a hack, as somebody that isn't particularly talented because they haven't got their own material out there. And I think it is undervalued to a certain extent, or has been. It's certainly not undervalued now.
What would you say is the most challenging aspect of being a ghostwriter?
Dealing with trauma.
How so?
Well, I've written quite a few books on people's... they are survivors, but they've been extremely traumatized through either sexual abuse or suffering through war, having their family slaughtered. It gets incredibly emotional at times, and it's quite difficult to keep focused and to keep on track and to keep extracting that information, because the deeper and dirtier that you get, the more effective the book is going to be for the client.
So in a sense, as they live through retelling you the trauma, so for you to represent what they've gone through, you must have to live through that trauma
exactly.
Yourself.
Yes, exactly. And probably dig even deeper.
How do you cope with that?
I talk to my wife about it, I guess. I talk to other ghostwriters. But I think one of my main, I guess, attributes is that my background as a police officer enabled me to experience a tremendous amount of trauma. Terrible, terrible things. And I'm not insensitive to anything like that, but I think I know, because I was a copper back in the day when there was no counselling, I think I've learned the skills in between time to protect myself against taking on board difficulties and trauma from my clients. The other thing to remember, Paul, is that these are inevitably good stories, and the trauma has only led to something really quite phenomenal, quite fantastic.
So in a sense, I guess when you were talking before about how you're happy for the success of your client in telling their stories, because they're stories of survival, of resilience, stories that need to be told to let the public know what goes on in certain places around the world, I can now see why you would have that sense of satisfaction and not need to have your own name up in lights.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I've written for a large range of people, and I've written for criminals. So I don't really want my name on that book, even though it sells well.
You're listening to Evenings on ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania. My name's Paul McIntyre, and my guest is Michael Collins, who's a ghostwriter. Michael has also worked as an undercover vice cop in London's East End. Michael, I think to do those stories justice, if it's okay, I'd love you to come back and we can talk about them, if you're happy to share some of those stories.
Absolutely, yeah.
In terms of ghostwriting, if a young person, well, not necessarily a young person, but if a would-be author, someone who'd like to get published and have a career in the publishing world, came to you and said, look, I've never thought about ghostwriting before. How do you do it? What would your advice be?
I don't know whether a young person can actually head in that direction that quickly. I think you've got to have a little bit of experience under your belt.
Do you need to have been published before?
Absolutely not. No, no, not at all. I think you've just got to have a lot of writing experience and probably a little bit of world experience, because you're going to come across the most extraordinary people and a huge range of people. I believe I've got the best job in the world because I talk to so many incredibly fascinating people, and I not only talk to them, but I'm given carte blanche to dig into their souls, to dig into their brains and minds, and I'm so nosy, it's and I'm getting paid to do that. So yeah, it's a hard one to jump into ghostwriting. I'd say write, read. I'm such a believer that you can't really write unless you do a lot of reading.
And perhaps as much as anything else, if you are a younger person who wants to become a published author or just write, just don't close your mind off to the idea of becoming a ghostwriter, which, you know, might be something that you can look at in your 40s or 50s.
Oh, I'd say well before then.
Okay.
Yeah, when you said a young person, I was thinking maybe in the early 20s. But, you know, you get to about 30 and you actually do realize, don't you, that, you know, that you didn't know as much as you thought you did when you were 20. So, you know, 30s, you could be springboarding into ghostwriting, absolutely. The only thing, only advice I would give is have a conscience. I get approached considerably to write people's doctorates and theses and stuff like that for their university degrees. Don't do that. Please don't do that. It is just one of the worst things. And that's a ghostwriter's, you know, gig in a way, and it's just dreadful.
When you get commissioned, I suppose, to do a job, are you paid in advance, or do the royalties come once the book hits the shelf?
Don't know royalties at all. I'm paid an immediate 50% deposit as a set. We have an agreed fee, 50% deposit, and the balance is paid over the following 5 months, and that should take us to the rough draft of the project, probably before the rough draft of the project. The project will take probably 5 to 10 months. It's not a fast project, although I have had to do them because of, you know, people's ailing health, and, you know, things have had to be done very, very quickly. But normally it's best spread out because the interviews are done over an hour each week, usually, and in between time the old unconscious mind bubbles up and lots of memories come out, and, you know, we can glean more information each time we talk.
Michael Collins, before I let you go, I want to ask if you're working on anything now, but I realise you may not necessarily be allowed to talk about something that you're working on now. But are you working on anything now? I'm going to ask you anyway.
I run three books at a time because they're in different stages. So, yes, I'm working on three projects at the moment, and there's always little bits to finish up with other books as well. So they're all in different if you like, parts of the in the process. Yeah.
Michael Collins, I'd love for you to come back and tell me more about your life and experiences, if that's all right.
Yes, it would be a pleasure, Paul. Thank you.
Oh, I very much look forward to it. Thank you for your time this evening.
Thank you, Paul.
My guest has been Michael Collins, who's a ghostwriter. It's 8:26. You're listening to Evenings. This is Suzanne Vega and DNA, Tom Steiner.